Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 298. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 Craig co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, coming live from, where are you at, Craig? Myrtle Beach, was it?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's right. I'm right across the street from the ocean right now. So down here for the week, going to do some Myrtle Beach, Kannapolis games and spend some time on the beach with the fam. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be me. Well, not in Myrtle Beach, but me. I'm going on a cruise with my kids. So time you, most of you are listening to this, I'll probably be flying down to Florida to embark on my cruise for the next several days. So both of us enjoying some nice weather, some sandy beaches, and maybe a nice drink or two. But we still got a lot of baseball to talk about here today. Went more MLB heavy last week, so we're dipping into the prospect world today. Talking some early prospect standouts. We got a lot of good names on the list today. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the other great things going on over at RotoBaller. Use the code TOOLSHED, get you 10% off any premium package, baseball, basketball, football, whatever you want. Rotoballer has it over at rotoballer.com. You know, we've already talked a lot of, you know, basically all the Baltimore guys, so we're not going to, you know, talk more Kierstad or Norby or whoever, but a lot of other fun names here. But let's start with the Oakland Athletics of all organizations here with Colby Thomas, who obviously is off to a very hot start this year. In his first eight games for AA Midland, he has four home runs, three steals, 438, 514, 844 slash line. And Chris, this is a guy coming off, you know, a pretty good 2023 campaign that I think flew under the radar a bit. He had 18 home runs, 25 steals last year, 39 doubles. This was between low A and high A, and slash 286, 351, 493. So kind of a fantasy-friendly profile here, and he's making some improvements this year as well.
Yeah, so Thomas is interesting because there's been some contact concerns throughout his career, and he's so far in the early going made some tweaks and changes. He really quieted his swing, and the results have showed. You know, last year he ran a 67% contact rate. This year he's up to 75% in the early going, which is really encouraging to see. I love to see when a hitter makes a tangible change and then it carries over and the results come with it, that's a sign to me that it's working. And the power speed, as you mentioned, has been there. Last year, he had 63 extra base hits, which is wild. It was one of the top numbers in the minor leagues. And you pair it with some power, too. And this is a really solid player from a fantasy standpoint that really is not gotten enough buzz, in my opinion. And he's off to a good start this year. He's up to 4 home runs so far. He has 4 walks to 6 strikeouts and 3 stolen bases. You know, when you're looking at this kind of sample of 37 plate appearances, and you're already up to 4 homers and 3 stolen bases, and you've made improvements with the contact rates, not striking out as much, putting up a really good slash, this is a name that could take off. And, you know, I'm a little more cautious just because Thomas has struggled with contact throughout his career, dating back to college. The tools have always been there, but there's always been those questions of like, well, what kind of power would he be able to get to? Former third rounder in the 2022 draft out of Mercer University in Georgia. I don't know. I think this is might be a profile that's taking a step forward, that's had the tools, and now is realizing some contact with some tweaks that have been made in the swing. And if this sticks, then yeah, I'm very excited and very in on Colby Thomas.
Yeah, and this is a guy that you can get for dirt cheap or free, really depending on how many prospects are rostered in your league. Because I don't think this is a guy, at least coming into the year, that was, you know, ranked very high at all. Probably not even, probably outside a lot of top 250s. But given his power speed blend, I mean, kind of the profile kind of has like a Dylan Beavers-esque vibe to it, where, you know, the power speed's there, but the contact skills were they concerned. And even if he can just get to, you know, like a fringe average, even 45 grade hit tool, somewhere in that range, which isn't asking, you know, one whole heck of a lot, not asking him to be above average there, but you know, this guy does have above average 2+ raw power and, you know, 20+ potential for sure. You know, so if you get the fringe average hit tool with Colby Thomas, yeah, I think you could absolutely be looking at a guy that, you know, is top 100 here, you know, maybe by midseason, if these gains stick. You know, it's still early, obviously, but if these gains stick, you know, into May, June, July, you're going to really see his, you know, stock soar. And again, probably inside top 100 on fantasy focused rankings. Another outfielder out west, this one with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Andy Páez, off to a hot start this year. Was limited to just 34 games last year and only had 3 home runs in those 34 games. Already has 3 so far in his first 14 games this season for AAA Oklahoma City, while slashing 351, 433, 597, 7 extra base hits total. Also has a couple of steals as well. And this is another guy, Chris, where, you know, there were some contact, you know, issues in the past, and, you know, he's kind of cleaned up the approach a bit. You know, he says many walks to strikeouts last year. Power's always been there, at least the raw power. Yeah, he didn't hit much game power last year, and he's really got himself in a lot better shape too. I think that's been huge for him. Got, you know, body is much leaner now than it has been, and he kind of fits that, you know, typical corner outfield profile. Guy can hit you 25+ home runs with, you know, a decent enough average, good OBP skills, and, you know, maybe gives you 5 to 10 steals annually as well. So, and again, another guy that could be up midseason for the Dodgers, maybe earlier if there's an injury.
Yeah, Páez is someone that I think is probably like a top 50 prospect. He's really good. He's far under the radar. And I think that if he had stayed healthy last year, then he would be regarded in that sense. He may be even higher than a top 50 prospect at this point, because he was breaking out last year. The contact had improved. There were a lot of tangible change, and it stuck into this year too. He's got a 91-mile-an-hour average EV. He gets the ball in the air often. He's running a 79% overall contact rate, which is really good for a power hitter. Your 9th percentile of 106, zone contact of 85%. And here's the most impressive thing. He's just chasing an 11% clip, which is, you know, really awesome to see when you're chasing, you know, that few balls out of the zone with that kind of power. I think that Andy Páez has a pretty special profile that really has not got enough buzz. And I think that he's probably on the fast track to Los Angeles. I think that there's a need there. And I think that it probably, you know, it's sooner than later that we see him in Los Angeles. I know, I mean, right now they're running out Enrique Hernandez out there in left field. They've got Gavin Lux in the infield. Really, the bottom of this lineup has some weaknesses. And I think Andy Páez could step in and make a big impact here. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he could do. And I think Páez will be up sooner than later.
Yeah, that left field, you mentioned, has been Kike Hernandez and also a little bit of Chris Taylor, you know, neither one of which have been good at all so far this year. And, you know, you get Taylor Trammell all coming off the bench. Gavin Lux hitting ninth. Even James Outman in center field. I mean, he offers more than just his bat, obviously, which is why he's still been starting regularly. But he has not been good offensively this year, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think there is at least somewhat of a path to playing time here for Andy Páez. And I think he's still being slept on a little bit. I think that perceived value hasn't really, you know, risen to the level where it probably should be at this point. So I think you can still get him for a pretty reasonable price tag. And I could say the same thing about this next guy, too, with Jordan Beck of the Colorado Rockies. Even though he's coming off a 2023 season between high A and double A, where he slashed 271, 364, 503, 34 doubles, 25 home runs, and 20 steals, and was only caught five times in 563 plate appearances. And yeah, the slash line did drop down a decent bit when he went up to double A in the Eastern League, but that's usually a tough challenge for hitters in a very pitcher-friendly league in general. So I'm not really, you know, giving him too much slack for that, but just looking at the profile of Jordan Beck, where it's kind of similar to, you know, Kobe Thomas earlier, where power and speed leads the way. There's been some questionable contact issues in the past, but he's always got it walked a good amount, and this year over 10%, last year over 10%. And the K rate has been kept relatively in check as well. So even if, you know, at like a neutral park, you're probably looking at like a 250, 255 type of hitter. But in Coors, maybe he's a 265, 270 hitter with potential for 25 plus home runs and 15 steals or so. I think that's kind of the player we're looking at here. And I think you're going to see Beck up very soon as well, maybe even by the end of May. So I think he's a top 25 caliber fantasy prospect right now, or at least in that discussion. And I don't think he's getting valued as such. So another pretty good dynasty target right now.
Yeah, Beck's biggest concern is the contact skills and how much contact he will make. And so far this year, like, it really hasn't been all that pretty, despite the results being good. Very similar to last year, actually. We're looking at 66% contact rate, 70% in zone, which, you know, is not great at all. And that does worry me a little bit with Beck, but obviously being in Coors Field for your home games is going to certainly help. You know, you're going to get a big BABIP boost, and that'll help out the average here. Hits the ball really hard, no denying that. He's running a 93 mile an hour average EV, which is really, really good to this point. The skills are, you know, great. You love to see that. And so I think that he is an intriguing profile. I prefer Páez here. I think that Páez is closer, and I think he's just a more well-rounded player because I can trust the contact a little more with him. And, you know, I would love to see Beck make those improvements, and it looks like on the surface that he has made those improvements from the batting average, but it's the contact numbers just aren't there right now, and that does concern me a little bit with Jordan Beck.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that Páez is the safer player. I think I would say that Beck has higher upside, though. But, yeah, that's really going to hinge on can he make some gains in the contact department. And like, I don't think it needs to be major gains. Again, and if he gets up to, you said 66 and 70, if he's getting up, you know, maybe low 70s overall and, you know, mid, you know, 75 to 77% range in zone, yeah, that's still below average. But given Coors, I think you can live with that, plus the power speed that he brings to the table. So, if he can't make those adjustments, I would take Beck. If not, I think Páez is the play. But both are very intriguing prospects right now, for sure. And this next guy as well. You know, what of fun, toolsy players here that we're talking about so far that all have, you know, maybe a question here or there for one thing or another. And next guy up on the list here is Emmanuel Rodriguez, who already has four home runs and four steals in just eight games for AA Wichita down in the Texas League. 10 walks to 11 strikeouts. And get this slash line, 385, 556, 1,039 slug. I mean, we've seen, you know, in flashes, it hasn't really been prolonged, unfortunately, but just the upside that Rodriguez has, Chris. I mean, last year went 16-20 in just 99 games, 400 OBP, even with just a 240 average. You know, we know the power's there. We know there's some solid athleticism as well. But another guy where, you know, contact and being overly patient have been kind of the questions about him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the case here is like, how aggressive will he actually be? And if he can swing the bat more and be more aggressive, and we've said this for years, then there's a star player here. And I think that you could see a potential, like, you know, top overall prospect kind of player, just given the upside here. And so, you know, the contact rates are still fine, but they're not at the level I want to see them at. But you can't argue with the results so far. I mean, Rodriguez is a really, really fun player. He's fairly young. I mean, he just turned 21. He's in double A. The power's there. The speed's there. Yeah, I mean, right now you're seeing him hit for average. The strikeouts are still there too. I mean, 31% K rate, 28% walk rate is just a little bit too much. And he's running a 554 BABIP. So, you know, it is fun to see the power speed. I mean, four homers and four steals is a lot of fun. And he's got a 290 WRC plus in 8 games, which is just stupid good. But I do think that we'll need to see, you know, long-term, what's the swing rate look like and what's the contact rate look like? Because I kind of fear that this is just the same player that we've seen last year. And we saw these flashes last year from Emmanuel Rodriguez, which is a really good player. Don't get me wrong. I think that this, you know, even last year's version of Imrod is really good, but there's still a lot to prove with contact and the swing rates.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he puts it all together, it's going to be a really fun player for fantasy purposes. And yeah, it's like, you know, we talked about, you know, what the next wave of top 10 prospects looks like with all these guys graduating either very soon or, you know, by the All-Star break. We're going to have a lot of open vacancies in that top 10. And, you know, two guys that look primed to take over that are, you know, two Minnesota guys with Walker Jenkins and Emmanuel Rodriguez. So you could see two of them in the top 10 or maybe even the top 5. I think they both have that upside for sure. And yeah, I would love to see, you know, Rodriguez put it all together, because, you know, him putting it all together is an, you know, high impact fantasy bats, especially in OBP formats for sure. Next name on the list is not quite as well known as the first few, but doing a lot of damage so far in double A, and that's, you know, putting it nicely. This is Augustin Ramirez, 22-year-old catching prospect out of the Dominican Republic in the New York Yankees organization. And look at what he's done so far. It's been absolutely silly. 7 games, and Augustin Ramirez has 6 home runs in those 7 games. Already driven in 13 and hitting 290, 333 with an 871 slug. I mean, I think there's some questions, Chris, on does he stick behind the plate long term? You know, we'll see on that, but, you know, whether he goes over to first base, maybe it's a DH. I mean, he's not going to play any results. Like, those are kind of the 3 spots where he could play or some combination of that. But Augustin Ramirez, the power is there for him. No doubt about it, Chris. So how much kind of value do you put in that power?
Yeah, I mean, he's a masher, and it's nothing new. I mean, the power numbers have been pretty dang good for a long time. Like, dating back to the complex in 2022, like, his exit velocities were off the charts good. And like, running some like models on like Statcast data, like, 2022 Ramirez was like a top prospect, and, you know, he did have some struggles last year, but, you know, I mean, still he made it up to double A as a 21-year-old. So that was obviously pretty impressive. And then, you know, despite the struggles, I thought that the underlying stuff still looked good with him. And so I'm not shocked at all to see the massive power breakout so far. I mean, it's stupid so far what he's doing. I mean, he has 6 home runs to this point in 7 games, like 13 RBI, just can't be stopped. And he's got a total of 9 hits, and 6 of them are home runs, which is just crazy. 2 walks and 6 strikeouts so far. You know, honestly, like, I think that Augustin Ramirez is like a dude. And, you know, I thought that the breakout might come last year. Maybe I was just a year early because the contact skills are there. The power is really good. Can he stick behind the plate? We'll see. You know, maybe he's a first base or DH type, but still to be determined there.
Yeah, absolutely. The Yankees have done a really good job of developing, especially hitting prospects, you know, both sides of the ball, but really hitting prospects. And, you know, Ramirez is definitely another one in those lines there. Next guy, very toolsy. We're talking about Lonnie White from the Pittsburgh Pirates organization, 2021 second round selection, you know, out of high school in Pennsylvania. You know, again, very toolsy outfielder that's always had a high level of intrigue just because of the tools that he had, you know, when he came in through the draft a couple of years ago. You know, last year was, you know, pretty solid. He's limited to the 61 games overall and 276 play appearances between the complex level and low A, but had 16 doubles, 9 home runs, 18 steals, 43 walks to 75 Ks, and a 276, 406, 476 slash line. So you're looking at like a 600 plate appearance pace of right around 2040, and that kind of fits what the power speed blend that he brings to the table. But now you're kind of starting to see him become more than just the toolsy upside guy with a ton of risk that kind of maybe could be classified as a project. He's starting to come into his own, show more consistency at the plate. And, you know, you've already seen the power speed numbers he's put up last year, and this year already has 4 home runs and a steal in 7 games for high A Greensboro. I mean, this is another guy that has top 25 prospect upside. If he continues making those gains with, you know, making contact, and yeah, the K rate's a little high this year so far, but the upside, Chris, is off the charts here with Lonnie White.
Saying, I agree with that for sure. I think that White's a really fun player. You know, I mean, he's just an athlete and that kind of player, like, I'll bet on like all day long. You know, he was a 3-sport high school athlete. He was a 4-star wide receiver going to Penn State. That was a top 100 overall college football recruit, which speaks a lot of volume. And he never really focused on baseball, never was really on the showcase circuit. And he's really just getting his first taste of competition because he's been hurt a lot early on in his career, which has kind of hindered him a little bit. But I do think that, you know, Lonnie White has the tools. I think he's got the upside. You know, it's just how much contact does he make? Because that's been the long been the question. And the contact rates still aren't great, but you can't deny, like, he's putting up some pretty big numbers. There's, you know, big exit velocities. The speed's there. Like, he's going to steal some bases. It's just, can he limit the strikeouts enough? He's going to play up in OBP league for sure. Like, he can take a walk. I know if you look at his walk rate right now, 6.5%, but, you know, this is a guy that's, you know, knows the strike zone. He can take a walk. He doesn't chase all that often, but when he does swing, he unfortunately does whiff. But, you know, I think that, you know, Lonnie White is someone that has the potential to really take off, but he still has some things to prove, in my opinion. Still young, still an opportunity. I'm excited to see what he can do. I do like White. I think all the tools are there.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. So hopefully he can continue to make some gains this year with approach and making more consistent contact because, yeah, the stock could really take off. And you could say the same about this next guy. And the stock already has taken off, and he's only been in professional baseball for 18 games, 11 last year with the Cubs, you know, complex level affiliate this year. Now with the Dodgers, this is Zahir Hope. Came over in the Michael Busch trade, just turned 19. A couple of months ago, so he'll play the entire season at age 19. Last year had 3 home runs, 3 steals in 11 games. This year, 3 home runs and 2 steals and 4 doubles in just 7 games so far. 3 walks to 6 strikeouts and a 321, 406, 786 slash line with low A Rancho Cucamonga. Another, Chris, another big-time athlete. You know, listen to that 6'193". I'd reckon to say he may have grown an inch or two since then. You know, from video I've seen, he looks a little bit bigger than that. Maybe that's just my eyes deceiving me. But regardless, big-time athlete. You know, the power speed blend is there. And another case of, you know, where does the hit tool come along? And that will really be the X factor between him being just a toolsy upside guy and a prospect that could realistically break some top 100 or even top 50 rankings by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's already looking like a borderline top 100 guy. I mean, the power is absolutely insane with Hope. I think he's already got something like 7 batted balls, like over 105, if I'm not mistaken. It might be more than that, actually. But he's had a couple 112 and 113s, just crazy for his age and honestly his size.
I think one of those went like 450 feet, didn't it?
Yeah, he's absolutely obliterating baseballs. He's a good athlete. the contact skills, I mean, like you said, that's kind of the question mark with him is like, where do those lie? And, you know, so far it's like average contact for his age and level. You know, we're looking at like a 72% contact rate at the moment, which is fine. I mean, he's 19, single A. You mentioned it's an athlete that's, you know, really just putting all his effort into baseball right now for the first time as he's done multiple things. I'm very encouraged by Hope. I think that there's going to be power, there's going to be speed, and there is a lot to like here. I think this profile, you know, probably ages pretty well as he continues to progress and develop. And, you know, right now looking at it, you know, I mean, this trade might really swing the Dodgers' way. And Michael Bush has been good. I like Michael Bush, but to get Hope and Jackson Ferris, two major upside guys in this deal, yeah, it looks really, really good for the Dodgers. Shocker, the Dodgers, you know, are really good at trades and really good at player evals. So I think that they knocked this one out of the park. And I think that Hope, if he continues, not even, he doesn't have to continue at a pace close to this, but if he just can continue at, you know, a decent pace, top 100 guy for sure.
Yeah, and that could happen sooner rather than later. And yeah, gets into an org. And the Cubs are a decent player development org, but getting into arguably the best or, you know, top three player development organization like the Dodgers, who are just always pumping out, you know, elite prospect after elite prospect. Yeah, I think this could turn out as like a win-win for both. I mean, obviously they couldn't really use Bush, have a ton of infielders already, but, you know, they could always use more pitching. Everyone can use more pitching, especially these days. So getting like Jackson Ferris, whose tool is the upside. But yeah, if Ferris and Hope turn into, you know, even close to what we think their upside could be, yeah, the Dodgers could look really damn good. And the Bush has been pretty good, too. I think he has home run in like four of the last five games or whatever it is for the Cubs. So, yeah, pretty good-looking deal all around so far. But let's go over to the pitching side of things now. And let's just start with some couple of Colorado Rockies pitching prospects. Why don't we? I mean, these guys have been good. So let's talk about them and see what we think of them long-term. Two from the Rockies, Sean Sullivan, lefty, and Chase Dolander, a righty. You know, Dolander being the more high profile name here as a guy that was in, you know, beginning of last spring, was in the running for 1-1 and kind of fell off a little bit. Obviously Paul Skeens emerged, but still was a top 10 pick and has, you know, he's a very good pitcher. I mean, he did fall into a less than desirable landing spot. And I immediately, like most others that do FYPD rankings, I'm sure, Chris, you can, you know, agree to this as well, dropped him a good 20-30 spots when I heard, you know, his name go to Colorado. But still a lot of upside here with Dolander, you know, four-pitch mix, you know, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup, fastball and slider, both could be plus offerings. So, I mean, I would love to him obviously to be anywhere else, but, you know, maybe there's a trade. It's kind of one of those things where I don't completely, you know, write these guys off because, you know, maybe they get traded and all of a sudden, boom, their value is skyrocketing. If let's say he goes, I mean, they won't trade him in the division of the Dodgers probably, but if you went to like Cleveland, Tampa Bay, whatever, you know, then the value goes back up again. And Sullivan, not quite as high of a profile as Dolander, but he's been pitching extremely well so far. 19 strikeouts to big old goose egg in the walk column in 11 innings for high A Spokane. And then Dolander so far in 10 innings, also for high A Spokane, 15 strikeouts to four walks, only left one run, 0.90 ERA, 0.80 whip. So given what you've seen from them so far, Chris, and the profiles, do you have any interest here in either Chase Dolander or Sean Sullivan?
So I think that if any pitcher can solve Coors Field, it probably is Chase Dolander. I think that he has the recipe for success. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to put up like fantasy ace numbers. I mean, like, I'm talking like beating Coors Field by putting up like a four ERA on the year. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, the stuff is there. I love the arsenal with Dolander. I mean, you're looking at three potential above average pitches or better with the fastball, slider, curve. I mean, I think that he has the recipe for success, that he's a type of arm that could beat Coors Field. And while it's not all that flashy for fantasy, he might be one that I end up rostering, which would be a little different. Now, Sean Sullivan's so interesting. And he's so unique. He's looked absolutely incredible to start the year. And I think that Sullivan is legit. I mean, he's thrown 11 innings. He has 19 Ks. He's not walked a batter. 10 hits, though, but 2 earned runs allowed. So, you know, Sullivan is unique, like, in the case of, like, release. Like, his fastball is pretty – it's a low 90s fastball, but it's just – it's very unique, I guess, type profile that we're looking at with Sullivan. And it comes in like, such a funky and hard-to-pick-up release that it makes it really hard for hitters. And I think it can play. I mean, last year at Wake, we're looking at, like, a 90-mile-an-hour average on that pitch, but really funky, really low release, 5'1" release height. You know, 15 inches of ride from that release height is really good. And 15 inches of run, which I know that's classified as like dead zone per se, but it kind of works when you locate it well and you have that outlier release height on it. Those mix in the slider. Changeup's a really good pitch too, like 17 inches of fade consistently. That's huge. I mean, the arsenal graded out really well, and you know, mix in a cutter occasionally as well. So yeah, I look at Sullivan and I'm pretty intrigued by an arm that, you know, obviously you wish he was in another org, just given that the stuff and the potential talent and having to go pitch your games in Coors. But I do think that the Rockies were really onto something here when they drafted Sullivan last year. And I mean, second round, 46th overall out of Wake, like, you know, Wake obviously really good with their pitching development. And so far, it looks really good. I'm buying both, but buying with caution because remember, they are going to play their games in Coors Field.
I will say, Dolander is the Colorado pitching prospect I like the most in a long time. Like, I don't remember the last time, I couldn't even name the last Colorado pitching prospect I liked this much, just from a profile standpoint. Like, if you ignore Colorado for a second, this is the most talented arm they've had come through the system in quite some time. So, yeah, I definitely echo that. If anybody can, you know, become a serviceable arm at Coors, which is, you know, a win for sure, it would be Chase Dolander. Let's go over to your Atlanta Braves now, though, Chris. As Owen Murphy has been very impressive through his first couple of starts for High A Rome, still only 20 years old, in 12 innings through 2 starts, only allowed 1 earned run, 4 walks to 16 strikeouts. I mean, got Waldrop and Aegis Mishaver in the upper minors, but got kind of like the next wave coming up here with Owen Murphy, who obviously was a high draft pick, 20th overall back in the 2022 draft, and a very good 3-pitch mix with a fastball and 2 breaking balls. So, Chris, do you think Murphy's a guy that's still being slept on a little bit? I mean, everyone focuses on, you know, the other two I just mentioned, Waldrop and Aegis Mishaver, but Murphy's got plenty of upside as well, just, you know, obviously not quite as long, far along in his developmental process.
Yeah, I think Murphy's honestly a bit underrated, and he really made some strides this offseason. That's the biggest thing, is he improved? I mean, he ultimately, you know, added to the fastball, and I saw him several times live last year and was always walked away a little disappointed. He's a little bit undersized, and the stuff is just okay, or it was okay, but, you know, he's made some changes now that look really good. The fastball velo's up. He was sitting 90 to 92 last year, and now he's, you know, up in, you know, I'm not going to say he's mid-90s, but he's 92, 94, which is a pretty big stride for a young player like Murphy. All the intangibles are there. He's got the arsenal. I mean, back-to-back 8 strikeout games. Looks really good so far. Yeah, I mean, he's doing his thing, looking really good in that Rome Emperor's jersey. Those new outfits are really sharp. They changed from the Braves to the Emperor Penguins, which is kind of wild, but yeah, I like that. So yeah, I'm buying Murphy. I think that Murphy's done a lot of things well, and he's made some improvements this offseason to make me much more interested in him, to say the least. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some looks at him this year. Certainly see him soon, and I'm really excited to see, like, if the, you know, the live look eye test pass. But I do think that, you know, Murphy's a guy that I want to bet on.
Dude, okay, so I hadn't seen the logo yet. That is like the swaggiest, coolest looking penguin I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I want to buy some gear. Like, I think it might be one of the better logos in the minor leagues right now. So I'm really interested in checking out and see if I can find some cool gear, because their logo is pretty sweet.
Oh, 100%. This is like, I don't know, we should like rank like minor league logos or something like that. This would be super high up there for me. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I need to get some gear of this as well, just something. But yeah, if you haven't looked, check it out. Just Google Rome Emperors. Probably throw baseball on the end of that because you'll get all the, you know, ancient history there. But that is a very, very cool logo. That is like one cool freaking penguin right there if I ever saw one. And I love penguins, so I've always been partial to penguins. I mean, who doesn't go to like an aquarium and go like right to the penguins? And they're like a must-see attraction. So I always appreciate a good penguin logo for sure. All right. We do have one Baltimore Oriole on the list. I did lie, but not one of like the super elite guys. But, you know, a pretty solid prospect in his own right with Cade Povich, southpaw, who is currently up with the Norfolk Tide right now. On the pitching side, though, obviously all the talk gets put on the hitting side. But Povich has been really good as well through his first three starts. 16 in the third innings. 2 earned runs allowed, 5 walks, and 24 strikeouts. You know, seeing that the walk rate, I mean, it's early. It's 3 starts, Chris. Like, we know Povich has always shown the ability to miss bats. I mean, 148 Ks in 114 innings back in 2022, 171 in 126 and 2/3 last year. But walk rate last year was well over 10%. And even though it is 3 starts, only having a, you know, walk rate around 9% right now, it's pretty encouraging. Again, 5 walks in 16 and a third innings. Man, a guy that we could see up with Baltimore pretty soon here. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Povich and both short-term and long-term?
Yeah, I think Povich is knocking on the door, ready to pitch in the Orioles rotation. I know Bradish is working his way back, but, you know, I think that there's a spot for Povich when he's ready. You look at the arsenal and, you know, it's really solid. It's not flashy, but he shows really good depth with a curveball. It's a, you know, 93, 94 mile an hour fastball with Povich. I saw him in spring training. I think you actually had a draft going on when I went over to see him. But he was really good then. I think he had 7 strikeouts in 3 innings in a major league spring training game. And the stuff's there. Like, it was a battle between him and McDermott, in my opinion, for like who would be up first. And I think that Povich is winning that battle. He's certainly proving and showing that, you know, he looks the part and that he's ready, while McDermott has had some struggles. And honestly, like, I had it kind of the opposite. I thought McDermott was going to, you know, he made some strides last year with the walk rate, and I thought he was going to kind of step in and be ready. But, you know, I think now looking at it, like, I think Povich is that guy. I mean, so far this year, I mean, the fastball set 92. It's average so far this year, but you just got a decent ride on it and some decent arm side run as well. Throwing the changeup, it looks sharp in the mid 80s. It's getting whiffs, throwing a sweeper, curve, and cutter. So, you know, all those pitches are there. He's got a deep arsenal. And, you know, ultimately, like, I think that Povich is somebody that probably contributes sooner and later. And I think he's still being undervalued. I think you can get on him and get a good value there on him and get somebody that's going to pitch in the major leagues this year.
Yeah, and probably pitch a decent amount of innings as well. Like you said, yeah, Bradish is working his way back, means, but are we fully confident that they're going to come back and stay back? So I could easily see, you know, him making at least 15 starts, maybe even closer to 20 with the major league team this year, and he'll give you at least some good strikeouts and maybe some serviceable ratios as well if he keeps that walk rate a little bit lower. That's kind of the X factor with him, as is with all guys, but especially a guy like Cade Povich. So yeah, pretty intriguing for sure. Let's go down a couple of lower-level guys right now that are really standing out and have a good chance to skyrocket up rankings this year. We'll start with George Klassen with the Philadelphia Phillies organization. In his first 2 starts, he's been, you know, nearly untouchable. 10 innings, only given up 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 17 strikeouts. So only faced 33 batters, so 51.5% K rate so far through his first 2 starts. And then also over with the Tampa Bay Rays organization, Santiago Suarez, 19-year-old Venezuelan right-hander in his first 2 outings, 10 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, and 15 strikeouts for low A Charleston. You know, upside here for both, Chris, very, very high. You know, I think Suarez probably a bit higher. He's got the higher prospect pedigree as well. He was already a name of note last year, Klassen kind of bursting onto the scene this year after being a 6th rounder last year. But, man, both these guys could really skyrocket up prospect rankings this year. And Suarez, you know, might even be, I mean, with all the guys graduating, I mean, yeah, this would be high-end outcome, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's a top five or close to it pitching prospect by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's been probably the buzziest arm of anyone, like, out there so far. It's an interesting arsenal. You know, you look at the arsenal so far, and, you know, it's been fine. It's big velo, you know, 97. I don't know. I mean, I look back at his college data, and I reviewed it, obviously, when I wrote him up in the Philly system, and I'm trying to figure out what I missed. He had really good stuff last year. Maybe I chalked some of the results up to pitching, you know, Minnesota, but the fastball graded out well, the curveball graded out solid as well, but he's very fastball heavy. Those are the majority of the time. And similar things. I mean, last year he averaged 97.5 on the fastball. This year he's sitting 97.2. You know, it's fine. Like not a ton of ride, and, you know, it's pretty dead zone, which I know people talk about, I don't care as much about that, but you look like, you know, 14 inches of ride, 14 inches of run, and it's pretty similar overall to what he did last year as well at Minnesota. He's throwing a slider. I think that Savant's classifying that as a cutter because it's 91 miles an hour, and it may fit the cutter mold a little bit. It's not a ton of horizontal movement. It's you know, a little bit of drop. You know, it's right at like zero IVB and 1 inch of horizontal movement. And he's mixing a curveball a little bit too. That's a clear curveball to me, sitting in the mid 80s, you know, with negative 11 IVB on that. So, you know, you look at this profile and it is interesting. A fastball like this should dominate single A hitters, college arm. I think that for me, like, Clausen is probably the buzziest pitcher in the minor leagues, and I'm selling. Like, I'm looking to sell him because it's, I think that the hype is way, way, way past, you know, where it should be at this point. Yeah, he's been fun to watch, but, you know, I'll pick up the other free guys out there. There's a lot of arms out there that are really dominating that don't have anywhere near the buzz or aren't even being talked about. And, you know, I think this is part of the issue in the prospect, you know, dynasty space, is that, you know, it only takes like one person like severely hyping a player or prospect, and then everybody is in on that player. And it only takes two or three, and then like, oh, we've got it's a mad dash. Like, there's this gif, and I've wanted to use it, but like, I just knew I probably shouldn't tweet that. It's this gif of like, it's like the entire class like sliding their chairs over to cheat on a test. And like, that's what I feel like the prospect community does, is like one or two people talk about a player, and everybody like kind of swarms in and is in on them too. And I like Clausen. I think he's fine. Like, I suggested Adam is like at least have like 250 prospects, but I just don't see this dominance really continuing as he continues to move up. And maybe I'm wrong and I end up eating that, but I think that right now it's just like, he's a solid arm, but I'm not going like all in on him, especially with all the buzz and the cost it's going to take to get him.
Yeah. And the one thing I can't just overlook is, you know, last year, yeah, I was in college, but last year had 47 walks and 56 and two thirds innings. So, I don't think that magically gets fixed in one off season. That's my philosophy. I mean, when it's that big of a, you know, control issue, it takes a little bit more than just an off season to fix that. Maybe you can make some gains, absolutely. Then you look at, you know, he's only walked two of his first 33 batters. Great, but it's two starts. So yeah, it's a fun profile, but I'm kind of hesitant as well. I mean, obviously he's a move up my rankings, kind of has to right now, but I'd much rather invest in a guy like Santiago Suarez, who is a guy that has much better command and control. You know, I've seen some 60s thrown on Suarez's command and control, and, you know, has, you know, pretty good three pitch mix as well. Fastball, curveball leading the way. And if he can make some strides with that changeup and get a better feel for that, he hasn't had to use it a whole lot, you know, so far in his career as an amateur, but, you know, he's a guy that has a lot more upside and probably even a higher floor as well. So yeah, Suarez is definitely the more intriguing ad here for sure. But like, how high do you think Suarez could rise, Chris? Obviously, you know, I'm thinking top 50 is possible. And do you think that's, you know, is that kind of where you're thinking too?
Yeah. I mean, I already had him 110 preseason. So like, that's, it's not too big of a rise to think that, you know, he's made some improvements this offseason. He's just an arm that's always had the data. Like, you know, I got his pitch data, you know, last year before he moved to single A, and that's really what tipped me off is, you know, somebody was like, hey, this guy's a dude. And then sure enough, like, he looked the part, and I think that he will continue to be. I think he can continue to rise. I think that, you know, top 10 pitching prospect is well in the works with Santiago Suarez. And, you know, I think that if you want to get in, like, you better get in now because he's gonna soar. I much prefer him to Clausen. Like, I much rather have Suarez.
Yeah, I don't think it's really even that close. You know, both are rising, but yeah, if I was to pick up one right now, it would absolutely be Suarez. But let's end out the show with a couple of, you know, quote-unquote older pitching prospects here with Christian Scott and Max Meyer. You know, Max Meyer is 25 years old, obviously in the major leagues, but figured with what he just did against your Atlanta Braves, Chris, it'd be good to talk about him right now. In three starts, 17 innings, 2.12 ERA, 0.82 whip, only a 4.6% walk rate. K rate, only 21.5%, but just struck out 7 Braves in 6 1/3 innings and had a 50% whiff rate or better on his fastball, slider, and changeup. And, you know, seeing that development of his changeup, you know, that's kind of the X factor with him. Back when he was drafted a couple years ago, he was, like, the, you know, among the big three with Emerson Hancock and Asa Lacy. And, you know, I think he's the one that has the highest upside at this current point in time out of those three by a mile. I mean, Hancock could be like a back end guy. Lacy, you know, was terrible and is now hurt and out for the year. So, you know, Meyer's a guy that could really, you know, he really could be a top 25 overall pitcher by the end of this year. I mean, health permitting, that's obviously the big question with him after missing all of 2023. But, you know, with three legit, you know, swing and miss offerings, and pretty solid command and control as well. I mean, just got to stay healthy. And then the upside here is an impact fantasy arm. So I think the window to buy him at any reasonable cost is closing pretty quickly.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, he's looked the part so far. And, you know, I think that he might still be a buy depending on, you know, your league mates. But, yeah, I took a shot on him in the Highlander this offseason. And, you know, I'm really glad I did, actually, because, you know, as my pitchers have gone down, he's kind of been a cog there. And that's been really nice to see the progress here with Max Meyer. And I don't know, I look at the arsenal, and the fastball looks really good. The slider is nasty. And this is what he was billed to be. Like, this is exactly who we thought that Max Meyer could be. There was some risk. Yeah, I mean, there was some bullpen risk for sure. But he's come back from TJ and looked the part, man. I'm telling you, I think that, you know, leading with the slider is huge. I like to see that. And he's done that for most of his career. But he's 50% slider right now, 34% four-seam. Changeup rate right at 15% when he needs it, especially against left-handed batters. But, hey, I don't know. I look at Max Meyer, and I just think that, yeah, this is a legit profile. Missing bats. He's limiting walks. You know, you may look at the strikeout rate and say, oh, 21.5%, but we're rocking a 37% whiff rate right now, which is 93rd percentile. The strikeouts are going to come. Like, those are going to be there. I wouldn't worry about that personally. And you saw it in the last start against the Braves. You struck out 7 in 6 innings. I think that we see more of that soon. That's a big confidence builder start where you allow one earned against a really good lineup. Don't walk a batter and strike out 7. Yeah, I think that, you know, moving forward, this might be a guy that really takes off. So I'm excited to see what Max Meyer can do for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely has been, you know, very impressive so far. And that was an eye-opening outing against the Braves for sure. Our last guy here, again, Christian Scott, keeping it in the National League East. A guy that I think it's only a matter of, you know, weeks, not months, maybe even days before he's up. Like, I think he could be up by the end of this month, and that wouldn't surprise me either. Given the state of New York Mets. But, you know, Christian Scott is a guy that I've been super in on for a while now, a guy that I got to see live a few times when he came through AA and was just highly impressed. I mean, the upside isn't astronomical here, but I think if everything clicks, it's like an Aaron Nola light type of profile where he doesn't blow you away, though the velocity has ticked up this year. It's up about a mile an hour over what it was last year when I saw him. So that's really encouraging to see. You know, mix, you know, sinker, slider, sweeper, changeup, can miss bats, has phenomenal command and control. I mean, if we're ranking pitching prospects on floor, I'd rank him top five. I mean, that's how high the floor is with him. I mean, last year he had 107 strikeouts to just 12 walks in 87 and two-thirds innings. This year, yeah, he's given up 4 runs in 9 innings, but 19 strikeouts to 1 walk in over 35 batters faced, so over 50% of those he has struck out so far. I mean, the upside, you know, maybe he's more of like a high-end number 3 at the major league level, but maybe even a back-end 2. I mean, I love the upside here. I think the upside is actually higher than people think to go along with that elite floor that he has. And I think he's going to be up and make 20-plus starts with the Mets this year. And I think he's still being undervalued a little bit because he's not flashy and he's a little bit older. I mean, he's going to be 25 mid-season, you know, middle of June. So kind of gets knocked a little bit because he's 24, almost 25. But this is a really good profile and a guy that could be a really good major leaguer for a long time.
I agree. And I think that, you know, this profile probably is one that you want to invest in more now. Looking at the injuries, like, you look at this kind of, you know, safer type profile, I think that Christian Scott is somebody to easily invest in. And, you know, it's a profile that's very safe. It's a profile that has a really good four pitch arsenal, throws a lot of strikes. And we're talking about a converted reliever too from college. That to me is the big thing. Like, we're talking about somebody that was a reliever at the University of Florida and has now become a really, really good starter. I'm rather in on Christian Scott. I think that top five pitching prospect is fair. I mean, he's not super flashy, but considering that he's going to be up soon, considering the arsenal, considering the safety of the profile, I'm investing where I can. I think this profile is really, really good. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do. And I tend to agree with you. I think 20 starts in the rotation feels pretty reasonable at this point. I think that they need Scott, and I think that he's going to answer the call when they come knocking, and he's going to perform. Just the safety in the profile, it makes me want to invest, and I would get him wherever you could. I think that just given the fact that he's going to come up and, you know, I think be so safe, that's what I want, is a pitcher that I can rely on start to start. Yep. I think you can rely on Christian Scott pretty heavily.
You absolutely can. I'll close out the show here with this one little note, or one little stat, I should say. In his 150 and a third innings in the minor leagues, dating back to 2021, the year he was drafted, Scott has a 26.2% strikeout minus walk ratio, 204 strikeouts to 36 walks in those 150 and a third innings. So, yeah, love Christian Scott, but that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoy it. We will be back with you again later this week. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.